Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to our very last episode in the powerful book of Philippians. We've been talking about what does real joy look like, and wow, what a power-packed book of truth we've discovered, John.
Philippians has been a great book to go through. It's a wonderful book about encouraging us to think like Christ, to be like Christ, and to have the joy that comes from doing what God wants us to do and following His will in our lives.
The last half of chapter 4 has all dealt with this gift that the Philippians sent, and just the perspective of how God meets needs, how we ought to have a spirit of contentment in all of it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and yet we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We want to be giving and using our resources to bless other people, understanding that giving has an eternal reward. Giving is an act of worship to the Lord. I mean, just so many incentives that the Lord's giving us here in the final chapter of Philippians.
Yeah, often when people talk about giving, people kind of get a little bit nervous because that's a touchy issue for some people. But it is a practical part of our Christian living. If we are not giving the way God's blessed us, then we're not fulfilling the clear commands of Scripture.
So the Apostle Paul said, when you give, there's an eternal benefit to that, fruit that may abound to your account. When you give, there's a spiritual benefit to that. You're actually committing an act of worship to the Lord, participating in an act of worship. But then he gives us a third thought in verse 19, where he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, I think, talks about, hey, when we are givers, obeying the Lord in sharing our resources with others, we can have confidence that God is going to continue to meet our needs.
You know, God is obviously aware of everything we do throughout every day. And God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. Now, obviously, you know, in eternity, that will make a difference. But you're right, Pastor, even now, it makes a difference. God does give grace to those that extend grace. God gives mercy to those that extend mercy. And God does give supplies to those that help others with their needs.
The Apostle Paul is saying this as a matter of testimony, because he had just said a couple verses before, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, my need. So in that sense, the Apostle Paul was saying, my God supplied all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, in glory by Christ Jesus. He did it through you. And the Apostle Paul is not saying, I don't know how God's going to supply your needs, but I know that God is going to supply your needs. And friends, that needs to be our focus. Our focus is the fact that God will supply. It's not how will he supply. I don't know. God has innovative ways of supplying needs in the Bible. Sometimes he breaks bread and fish and feeds 5,000.
God definitely, you know, often in my life, looking back through my life over the years, I can see God has sometimes supplied in ways I never even would have imagined or dreamed. But you're right, Pastor.
He sometimes tells the ravens to come carry some bread. I mean, I think the point is that you read Scripture and look at all the multifarious ways by which God met people's needs, that God just did it in some unique ways. And I think the reason behind all that is to say, don't be in love with the method. Don't be in love with how God does it. Be in love with the God that does it.
And that's what God wants us to glorify him and thank him and be grateful to him, because you're right, Pastor. God is the one that is preeminent. It's not the money, although obviously when you have a financial need, it's nice to have that supplied. But ultimately, God works in our lives to bring him glory and to us what he needs to give to us in our lives.
Sometimes there's frustration on a human level because we want to supply needs. We want to be the resource for people. And yet our resources are limited. I know that there are some of you out there that would love to do this or that for this person or that person, but you just can't. You want to pay your child's college school bill, or you want to help that person that whose car broke down. Boy, you'd love to buy them a new car, but you can't. But that's not what the verse is saying. What the verse is saying is, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches, and to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has a limitless supply.
You know, God is, you know, we've all heard it said, you know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is, he is infinite in everything, and God lacks for nothing. We are the ones who often lack in our life, and God is aware of that. And God, we're God's children. God loves us. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God, and God does long to take care of you as his children, even infinitely more than I long to care for my daughters, and I love them and desire to take care of them, but infinitely more than what I can do, God cares for his children.
He shall supply all of your need. I think sometimes we take verses like these and we want to make them mean more than what they mean. So, wow, God has everything he supplies. I want that new Maserati.
Exactly right. If we're not careful, people can turn this into a very selfish-based promise, and it's far from that, as you just mentioned.
And when you think about need in the Bible, my friends, don't just automatically think about physical resources. And I do think that's the context here, but don't always think about physical resources. Think about what is the greatest need of mankind? The greatest need of mankind is to receive salvation. And you think about that great passage in Ephesians chapter 2, where, hey, we're dead in trespasses and sin, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. So aren't you glad that the riches of God aren't just physical resources? You know, we need food, need money, need housing, need, praise God for all of that. But beyond all of that, he's rich in the areas we need his resource, rich in mercy, rich in forgiveness, rich in.
Yeah, you know, Paul's been talking about, and throughout this epistle we've seen, he talked about joy over and over and over again. And people sometimes find it so difficult to walk in joy, but Paul reminds them, as you mentioned, Pastor, God will supply all of our needs, whether that's physical, spiritual, the actual needs that we have as we trust in God, depend on him. You know, God does see our faith. God does see our trust in him. And we can walk in joy every day because of God's bountiful supply of his grace in our living.
That great old song, Christ is all I need, all I need, all I need. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and power. And your need today, my friend, finds its resource in the person of Jesus Christ. He, God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So trust that your God knows your needs, and trust that the God who knows your needs can and will supply them by his grace. I love the last few verses of Philippians chapter 4, really of the book of Philippians, where the Apostle Paul winds things up, but we dare not look at these verses simply as concluding verses that have lesser strength or meaning. So let's see them in their fullness. Verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So before the Apostle Paul makes some of his final greetings and salutations, he just wants to be clear that everything that has been said, all the teaching that has been taught, finds context in bringing honor and glory to God.
You know, we find Paul doing this in a number of his epistles where he's writing about some great spiritual realities. And I can just sense Paul getting so excited about what he is writing. He just, you know, breaks out into doxology and praises God for who God is. And here we see Paul doing that. You know, he's been giving some great spiritual truth, talk about how God will supply our needs through Christ Jesus. And Paul says, it's all for the glory of God. And what a great thought Paul gives us here.
The purpose for which we live is to bring honor and glory to God. The glory of God simply means his reputation. I wonder, is my life and my response to the things in my life, giving God a better reputation among a world that desperately needs to see him for who he is. So the Apostle Paul ends with this doxological statement of exclamation. I love it. And then verses 21 through 23, a very common way by which the Apostle Paul would end a letter. It's a common way by which you and I would end a letter. And yet there's good teaching here. Verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me greet you. So the Apostle Paul is careful to extend this letter beyond maybe just the leadership, the pastors and deacons that to whom he had written, and even the writership, the Apostle Paul and his colleagues. Hey, I want to bring everybody into this.
We see here a great picture of Christian love and how Paul loves the people to whom he is writing, and he wants everybody to know about that. And the people that are with Paul where he's at want the people in Philippi to also know that they care about them. What great Christian love we see here.
The Apostle Paul was always endeavoring to bring people, Christian people, together. He was not a divider. He was a uniter around truth. Not in an ecumenical kind of way, but in the sense of true believers who have a heart for God and for truth ought to be able to find commonality. The Apostle Paul was careful to bring those people together. And then verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. It goes all the way back to chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul said, because of these quote unquote negative circumstances, I have had the opportunity to be in prison, but really to be associated with Caesar's household.
You know, what an amazing way God works. What people often will say, well, how sad that Paul's in prison. That's not how Paul took it. Paul took it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Wherever Paul was going, he was looking for opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. And because Paul was faithful, even people in Caesar's household came to Christ. What a thought that is.
Prison is a great place in the Bible. You know, prison is where Joseph met the butler and the baker. Prison is the place where the Philippian jailer met Jesus Christ because of the testimony of Paul and Silas. Prison was the place where Daniel saw God shut the lions' mouths. I mean, prison in the Bible was a place where many people saw God work. Now, I'm not recommending you go out and do something to get yourself in prison. But what I am saying is God can work in any situation.
Yeah, I love the heart of Paul in that he was, no matter where he was at in life, he wanted, whether Jew, Greek, didn't matter who the person was, he loved people genuinely because he'd been captured by the love of Christ, and he always looked for opportunities, no matter how bleak the circumstances may have been from mankind's perspective.
We're at our very last verse for the book of Philippians, so let me read it for us, and then we'll make a comment or two, and then we'll go on with our day. Verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a way to begin, because that's the way we began this book, and what a way to end. Grace. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We exist and are secure because of the grace of God. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
You know, and I love the way Paul ends this letter. And this is not just some nicety that Paul's, you know, just throws on the end of every letter. It's something that Paul really does mean. And this is what God, you know, God is the one who inspired Paul to write this. This is God's desire for every one of his children, is that we would daily experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is bountiful. It is available to every one of us today. Sometimes, you know, we don't walk in the grace of God, but that is not God's desire. God's desire is that we intimately walk with him in his grace moment by moment.
Grace is God's undeserved favor, which will give me both a desire and an ability to do God's will. It's God's grace that you need today, my friend. It's God's grace that I need. Grace is what teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's grace that empowers. It's grace that guides us. It's grace that we need. If there's one prayer request that you could center in on today at the end of the book of Philippians, it would be to say, God, give me your grace. And I promise you, he will answer that prayer and you'll see its dividends in your life. Thanks for joining us for this journey through the book of Philippians. Looking forward to starting a brand new book next episode, the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're calling that series Turning the World Upside Down. You don't want to miss it. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.